Well, good morning. Now, my family has attended here since you guys were a small trailer in the backyard. I have not. I've lived in a different state, as you already mentioned. I started in the ministry, but ended up going up and just serving in a church and working in the oil field for the past 35 years. And so, greetings from your brothers in Alaska. This is kind of the view from my backyard. One of the four active volcanoes you can see from the back of our neighborhood. And so we came down here to study how you guys handle the cold, so we would be better prepared, since I see you guys are in a cold snap. Anyway, so I want to talk to you about some instructions today. So one of the things about instructions is there's basically three different problems with them. And the first one is there's bad instructions. And people just do it wrong. So one of the problems when you order a cake, they'll give you, if you're going to put something on it, they'll give you a box that says, write in here exactly what you want on the cake. Sounds pretty simple. But some people will obey a sign, you know, will see you say, that's what you want, that's what you put in the box. And so good instructions are hard to find. So where you hang a sign can be very important. Don't hang a sign someplace and expect people to follow it because they will. And so one of the things is, if you're going to advertise it as a drive-through, that's where the drive-through is, okay? There's other things that go on. There's meaningless instructions that people get. And you're just like, it just makes noise. We recently went to a major purchase of a hairdryer. And I was reading the instructions on it. Because well, I don't know why. And it says, do not use in the bath or shower. And I was like, that makes me understand now why my hair was just as wet before the hair dryer as with after the hair dryer, using it in the wrong place. A kid's costume for Superman had the actual warning on it, says, does not enable wearer to fly. And I'm like, I kind of blame the parents for that one. I hung up Christmas lights this year. And my box, I was reading the instructions, and it says, for indoor or outdoor use only. And I just kept thinking, what am I missing? All right. And then one of my favorite is children's cough medicine. I was reading the box because we're giving it. And so it's like, warning, do not operate heavy equipment while using. And as a guy from the industry, I could just tell you how much safer it would be if children taking cough medicine would stop operating heavy equipment. So, it's a good thing. Instructions are given there to help us, and when we ignore instructions, it can be just as bad. Good instructions ignored. And so I'm giving an example. IKEA, I see you guys have one, and I furnished entire rooms with IKEA down when my kids went to college. And I saw the IKEA instruction manual, which is hard to follow. You have to self-assemble. And we bought a chair, and I know how to put together a chair. I'm good with my hands and tools, and so I don't really need to read the instructions. And so I put together this chair, and this is one of the reasons Scandinavian furniture don't catch on, because it's just not comfortable. Okay, so people look at the Bible in a lot of ways as instructions that are either poorly written, meaningless, or who cares? I don't need to read the Bible to understand what God wants. I'll make up my own instructions. And so there's a place in Harrison, Ohio. It's a drive-through convenience store. Quite the model there. So you pull up and roll down your window and give me a Dr. Pepper and a bag of Funyuns, you know, the fun onions. And the guy there says, hey man, are you from the church there? I said, yeah. He goes, doesn't it say somewhere in the Bible you're supposed to smoke marijuana? People will look at the Bible and try to extract from it what they want. And I, just trying to think what to say, said, you know, we're studying that passage this Sunday. You ought to come to church. And so a core practice is, one of the things that we have to do, you guys have a good staff, you have some excellent preaching, love your music, a lot of great things going on here. And you've studied some of these core, you know, Brandon did a great job with the Bible, so I feel like I'm going to repeat and just say ditto on what he did. But when we look at the Bible, and it has to be a core practice in our lives, and we realize that the awesomeness of the Bible, it was written over a period of 1,500 years by at least 40 different authors, three different continents, about one God, and one principle teaching that God so loved the world, he gave his son. God's love. And so we have to understand that this is our core principle, core practice. Study the Bible. In 2 Peter chapter 1, it says, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things, for prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. That's where Scripture came from. The Bible is the true Word of God. Brandon covered this when he talked about 2 Timothy 3:16, and the term is, all Scripture is God-breathed, from the breath of God, from His lungs, from His... So Scripture is either all true or it's totally false. It can't be both. It can't be a combination. You know, it's our authority. It is not to be watered down. So I believe that the Bible is the true Word of God because it makes sense. Sounds simple. But it's a convincing conclusion of a creator communicating to his creation. It makes sense. I believe the Bible is a true word of God because of its amazing accuracy. Despite the various authors, backgrounds, historical settings, and overall complexity, the Bible has proved truer and truer every day we're alive. Biblical archaeology is digging up stuff all the time saying, there it is. One of my favorite stories is the Hittites. Hittites are listed in the Bible. Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, the Hittite. The Hittites and their 600 iron chariots were people were afraid of, trading horses with Solomon. But the problem was, there's no evidence the Hittites ever existed. I talked about their city with the double lion gates. Well, early last century, they were digging and they found this giant lion. Then the biblical archaeologist says, dig over there. And they found the other lion. And pretty soon, you have uncovered the lion's gates of the city of Hittites. And so now it's like digging later, they find scrolls and stuff. And so the Hittites become a historical fact where for years it was like a scourge on Christianity because, like, we're the Hittites. I love its accuracy. And let me look at Matthew chapter 24. It's just so important. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. I believe the Bible is true because of its everlastingness. It's still here, written by hand over centuries. And as we've just unearthed documents from earlier and earlier, we just keep finding that it made it. How? How did it make it through all this dark ages and times of stuff? When we look at Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8, it says, the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. Because of fulfilled prophecy, that's next point. So I believe the word of God is true because of fulfilled prophecy. Okay? It is fulfilled daily. And we study the Old Text and we see what promises were made and where promises came about. And also because of its positive effectiveness. When you know people that have come to Christ and through reading Scripture and through studying God's Word has changed their lives, you understand the power of God. You're saying, how did this happen? How did this happen other than through the true supernatural ability of the Word of God through Scripture? Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11, and I love this, and just talking about its effectiveness, he promises this. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. I will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for what I sent it." The Bible is powerful and effective. Okay? And one of the most is just, it's communicating to us. And that's the second thing I just want to point out, that the Bible is a direct communication from God to us. And so, because of that, we need to just take a look at it. We see the historical setting the Bible was written in. And here, you know, when you look at it in a literary sense, it's got historical narratives. It's got love stories, family sagas, war stories, prophecy, descriptions of consequences of not following God's word, description of the blessings of following God's ways, times of correction. You know, just if you have a style of literature you like, it's the Bible. And it's impressive with that. Through Scripture, I believe God communicates His character. Over and over, we see who God is and what He's like, what pleases Him, what displeases Him. It communicates His promises. Like, what does He promise, and what does He warn against, okay? It communicates His plan. Paul writes in the New Testament that the mystery was revealed. In other words, why was there sacrifice? Why was there bloodshed? Why was there this, and why is there not today? Why did the, you know, when finally the perfect sacrifice comes, through Scripture, it communicates God's will. What's God's will for you in your life? It's in Scripture. Serve Him. Follow Him. It communicates instructions for us for our daily life. You can find in the Scripture descriptions on how to pray, how to share the gospel, how to trust God, how to forgive. And most of all, it communicates God's love for us. And it's super important. And so when I look at this, and I look at the fact that one of our core practices is Scripture and about Scripture, then we should spend time. All Christians should commit to consistently spending time in the Word. Muslims call Christians people of the book, which should be an accurate description of us. The book being the Bible. We should be in the book. It should be a core practice for everybody who's in church. It is to be used, to be read, to be reread, to be studied, meditated on, analyzed, discussed, memorized. This is the reason we have classes. You have times of instruction, more than just Sunday morning. And there's nothing wrong with what goes on here on Sunday morning. But we need to study Scripture. We need to make it a core practice. We need to be the people in the Word, understanding what God has asked us. So the Bible is just God-inspired, all sufficient for our needs. And a lot of Christians can die of starvation spiritually because they're not eating and ingesting the Word of God, the bread of life, the living water. I believe it's culturally relevant, and that's what a lot of people go, well, it doesn't mount to today. I'll talk to you about a prophet, maybe you've studied, maybe you haven't, Habakkuk. It sounds more like a Star Wars character. Habakkuk was a prophet of God, a contemporary of Jeremiah during the talking to the nation of Judah, and his complaint to God was basically there was problems with society. And he was wondering when God would do something about it. And the specific offenses mentioned in the book were violence, plundering, strife, contention, the breakdown of law and order and the justice system. Stuff we don't understand about today at all, right? It's the same thing. They were just wearing different clothes. Same problems. And how did God respond to that? And how does God deal with that? I believe the Bible is culturally relevant to today. We can apply the Bible. We can understand the Bible. It helps us study together. There are some things that geographically, maybe some cultural things. One of the things geographically is a lot of the enemies came out of the east, but they said they came from the north. And it says, well, but you realize the east was a giant desert, so they would travel up the river valleys and come down from the north. So even though they were over there, they came from the north. And it's like, Okay, that helps me when I looked at a map. Take it literally if possible. When you're studying scripture and it says Jesus walked on water, Jesus walked on water. When it says the Israelites, the Red Sea was parted and they walked across on dry land, I read commentaries that says, well, really, it was a low, low tide and they came across. And then when the Pharaoh's chariots came and stirred up, they got stuck in the mud and water came in and drowned them. That's almost harder to believe than just God doing a miracle. Take it literally if possible. Read it in context. One of the most dangerous things we do is we pull stuff out of context and then we quote it. And then we build theologies based on a verse that's over there and not looking at what's surrounding it, what's with it. Don't get distracted by non-salvation issues. Like, I don't understand exactly fasting and is it necessary? Will I, not make it to heaven? And it's like, don't get distracted. We'll learn. We'll grow together in that. Read the Bible. You have opportunities here. You have read through the Bible in a year books. You have chronological Bibles that you can read through in this order. You have a lot of stuff available to you. And so in your groups, but make sure that with a book is fine, but make sure the bulk of your reading is in scripture. New Christians, start with the Gospel of Mark, very concise. Old Christians, John, very complete. Start in Genesis, start in Revelations for those that want to know how it ends. Okay, just start, just read. Confucius says, you tell me, I will forget. You show me, I will remember. You involve me and I will understand forever. So I'm saying that we should be involved with reading the scripture to our families, to our friends. If you have children, read to them. If you have grandchildren, read to them. If you have no children around you, get involved with children and read to them. Teach the scripture. Teaching scripture is just once. Teach them to enjoy it, and it's the ultimate. The Bible isn't simply a textbook or a novel. It is life-changing. It does not contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. It does not contain truth. It is truth. And so it is the ultimate guide to putting our lives together correctly. Jesus said, blessed are those who hear the word and obey it. So it's not just enough to hear God's word. We have to get involved with the obedience of it. So today, if that's a question for you, what must I do? What do I need to do? Find the guys with the name tags. Find the staff here. And let's commit ourselves as Christians to not just celebrating the Bible, but ingesting the Bible and participating in it in our lives. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your scripture. We thank you that you took time to give it to us. And Father, just help us in our daily lives to just find the time, find the motivation, and find the desire to just take in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.